Coming up next to the stage, we have the founder of One Design. This is Sam Rosen. No more Optimus Prime stuff from me. I'm done.
Hello, everybody. That story was amazing, and I am intimidated to follow it. And I can barely see my writing, so bear with me here. I'm so honored to be here. There are such amazing people who are talking, and I'm flattered for the invitation, so thank you. And this really isn't a funny story, but you can laugh if you want to. This story starts about 5 years ago. I'm an entrepreneur. And at this time, I had a few different businesses that I was working on. One was a design agency called One Design. We probably had a dozen or so folks at the time. We had a co-working space called The Coop and a little startup that was called Dust Time, still is. And I was mainly focused on that. And when I say I actually mean we. I have a business partner and a lot of wonderful people that I work with, but I say I a lot, so it's we. And I'll use them interchangeably. But my business partner's name is Pat, and at this time, Pat and I had been raising money for this little startup, which for me is probably the least enjoyable experience known to man. It's a lot of rejection, basically, is why I don't like it. And through a matter of an introduction, after like the 1,000th introduction, we were introduced to someone who was like immediately very, very, very interested. And for the purpose of this story, we're going to call this man, D. D wasn't just excited about this one company that we were trying to get money for. He was interested in all of our companies. He wanted to buy the agency. He wanted to buy the co-working space. He wanted to invest all this money in the startup. And the deal was like extremely exciting and lucrative. And we didn't know much about this guy, but he came from a reputable place. He seemingly had a bunch of connections and experience and money. And we were able to come to terms quite quickly. And in the belief that the deal was going to happen, it was really imminent, we started to make these really big changes to our business. We started to spend money that we didn't have and take people who are making money and put them on projects that weren't making money and thus like hemorrhaging lots of cash. It was okay because everything was fine and this guy was coming and everything was going to be great. I think you guys know how this ends. Now, it's hard to explain from like this point in late summer how we get to the end of the year. And for the sake of expediency and not kind of rehashing these terrible life choices that I've made, I'm going to speed through the next couple months. But I'll give you some highlights. As you can expect, as we patiently waited for this agreement to come to terms, I was always a few days away, and there were some big checks coming in the front door, so we were cool. And for months, we had these like shady dealings that kept happening. These included fake wire numbers, misleading cropped photos of checks, just like outright bold-faced lies to my face that could only be made by an asshole psychopath named D. And it became increasingly clear that D was not whom he represented, and seemingly he did not have the means or the skills to make this thing happen. But at this point, it's the end of the year. And Pat and I, we were way down the rabbit hole. A kill deal would be a kill to all of the businesses. And at this point, you know, there's a dozen people and their families and their respective mortgages and their respective car payments. And we all would have been screwed. So we reluctantly pressed on. And we believed we could get a deal done if we just, like, made it forth and worked amicably towards each other. So this story really culminates around New Year's Eve. We had given this scumbag till the end of the day to do the deal. And it was the last day of the year. And I think the deadline we gave him was 11 a.m. We had a signed agreement and money in the bank in escrow by 11 a.m. And by some miracle, after like 5-6 months, the agreement was signed before 11 o'clock, but the money was not. And until the money was there, the deal wasn't going to be done. So we, you know, he pleaded with us, like, give me till the end of the day. And we waited 6 months at this point. So we're like, fuck it. What's a couple more hours? So it's New Year's Eve. No one's in the office, thankfully. And we're like pacing around, and we're just on this guy's ass, right? We're hounding this guy, you know, what's up? Like, just trying to understand if this is really going to happen or we're just totally fucked. Then another dude, our investor, calls. He goes, you know, it's like 3 o'clock. He goes, it's a holiday. The Fed is closed. Like, it's over. The money is not going to come. And we were like, son of a bitch. So we texted him. We're like, where are you? He's like, I'm at the bank right now. We're like, what bank? He's like, this bank. So we drove to the fucking bank. It was fucking closed. So that was it, man. I mean, the deal was, it was over. We called him. We said, fuck you, D. Not so optimistically. We're just like, this is bullshit. And the deal was done. And I drove Pat home, and I was devastated. I mean, you know, it was New Year's Eve. I am not a college graduate. I've like tied my life into these businesses and these projects. You know, everything that I worked for and everything that I was wrapped up in my life of who I am and my identity was kind of wrapped up into these business. And my blood, sweat, and tears, and it was all foiled by this fucking con artist, this fucking sociopathic liar. So I came home, I looked at my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I fell apart. And I wondered if, like, she'd still love me. Because as long as she's known me, I've been this. Like, this is my company. That's how I met her. That's the kind of a big part of our thing. And she was totally unfazed by the whole thing. It was very clear that she did not care. And that was not comforting because, like, my whole life, you know? It was also New Year's Eve, just a reminder. In a couple hours, for some reason, my friends were meeting at our house, and then we were going to go out, and we'd drink champagne and celebrate the New Year's. And at this point, I did something that I always do when I'm really stressed out. It is my three-step process into not being an asshole, and it is taking a bath, smoking some weed, and watching The Daily Show. So, my bath was nice and ready and warm, and I put like my toe in the bath, and as I'm putting my toe in the bath, I got a text message from D. It says, check your bank. And I did. And the money was there. It wasn't like pending or hold. It was more money than I've ever had in my entire life in the bank. And I was like, what? And I knew something wasn't right, but I knew that the story like wasn't going to end right here. But it was New Year's Eve. I had more money in my bank account than I ever had before. So I took my bath. I shook it off, and I thought, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But tonight, you know, let's have fun. So we had a really fun night that night. And then the next morning, New Year's Day, my banker calls me because you got to have a good relationship with your banker. And he says, Sam, I can't really tell you how I know this or why I know this, but that big check you got, I have like 99% confidence that that check, it was like a $400,000, it looked like the biggest check I've ever seen. It's going to bounce. By the way, don't bounce that big of a check with your bank. It's kind of funny what they do. They shut off all of your things. But he was right. The next day, poof, the money vanished. And I was forced to write a letter, which was the most difficult letter I've ever written in my whole life. And it was to all the people that I worked with. And these are people that I love and care about. There's some people there over there. And it was basically like, hey, I was nicer and more succinct, but basically like, you lost your job. And I can't pay you for last month yet, and Happy New Year. It was terrible. I never had to send that email, thankfully, because by like freaking Hail Marys and luck and good friends, we survived that blip in time. And all the companies still exist, and everything's hunky-dory now. But that moment was like a very transcendent moment for me in my life, and I learned a few lessons that I've taken from this experience that I wanted to share with you guys, because it wasn't just like a conceptual idea that I lost everything, like I had written the fucking letter. And so the things are pretty simple. One is, and I thought I learned this like 15 years ago on eBay when I tried to buy a shitty computer from a crook, that like if it sounds too good to be true, yeah, it's probably true. It's probably too good to be true. But the big one is it's tremendously easy to wrap your identity into your work. If you're someone like me who lives and breathes what they do, it's easy to conflate the two. But you are not your work. In fact, there is no one in the world that gives as much of a shit about your job and work as you do. And it's easy to forget this, especially in these really shitty moments. And at this low moment of my life, and it was one of the lowest I can remember, something really amazing happened, and I felt stronger than ever. Because all my friends and my family and the people around me that cared about me, they didn't falter. I've been a good person to them. I've always been honest with them, and I've built meaningful, long-lasting relationships with them. And in this, like, terrible moment, they had my back. And I remembered in that instance that I had real friends and folks in my life that would take care of me. I had bought enough meals for other people and let people crash on my couch and listen to their stories when they were out of luck and gave them advice. And I knew in that moment that I wasn't going to end up hungry or on the streets. And I was still surrounded by all these lovely people who really loved me for who I am and not for what I do. And I think at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. So that's my story.
Thank you, Sam. Sam Rosen. That was great. As someone who has closed a business that he ran, it is very hard. Also, raising funds is the worst, and asking people for funds is terrible. So, guys, at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you about the Nerdalog's new Kickstarter. Hey! No, it's pretty cool, though. It's pretty tight.